They make you dance. They make you laugh and cry. We're gonna talk about movie soundtracks.
Hello!
We're Pop and Circumstance,
the podcast where we talk about pop culture and all the things.
Yes.
Too TV, much to list.
Yeah, TV, movies, you name it. We
anime,
talk about it.
Manga.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah, no, we're not as energetic as we were before just because we already did this episode and Adobe crashed on us. So
yeah.
Take two.
Yes, and then Victoria was in the first one, but then she had to go home and couldn't re-record it with us. But that's okay. We have our second producer, John, our sub-producer.
You make it sound like, yeah, I was like, Eva, okay, I get it. Just because you're dating Victoria doesn't mean that John's worse than her.
No, you're calm not any down. Less, John.
You make it sound like
no.
It. Jesus. Yes.
I always thought this podcast needed a white man's touch.
I'm Emily.
I'm Eva.
And I'm John.
Yes.
Oh, was I supposed to say?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
No,
no. That's you're part of it now.
You're John.
Yeah, you are John.
You're a guest producer.
And, you know, you have good input. You like soundtracks and stuff.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so feel free to jump in at any time.
Yeah, no, that's the topic of today's episode. We're talking about movie soundtracks. First, I'm going to disclaimer. There's a difference between movie scores and movie soundtracks. Mm-hmm. A score is just the instrumental. A soundtrack has lyrics and stuff to it. It's mm-hmm. usually like a song that you know. Sometimes it's a song that's curated specifically for the movie. Sometimes it's a song they found from, you know, they just...
another source.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So those are the difference. We're really going to focus just on soundtracks, like actual soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than scores, we'll do a part two that specifies just scores.
Mm-hmm.
Because scores, I can talk all day about them.
Yeah.
They're very important to me. I love them. John has been woken up by me listening to movie scores to go to sleep.
This is true.
He was like, what the fuck are you listening to? I don't know what movie was playing at the time.
Probably Inception.
No. Inception's so good, though. But yeah, like, as I digress,
yeah.
I can talk about that for ages. So we're going to focus more on movie soundtracks.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a couple lists. We're not going to go through them completely because we're just going to skip to the ones that we thought were worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to go from, I don't think we should go from like
no.
bottom 50. We're just going to talk about the ones that we think.
So the list, if you want to read them yourselves, mm-hmm. they're from Pitchfork, best 50 movie soundtracks of all time. And then Vulture does the top 40.
Yes.
They both have different movies and some do overlap. The biggest trend that we saw with the two of them, with Pitchfork in specific, they did a lot of movies that were either autobiographies or like biopics
mm-hmm.
or like the Beatles, like it's an yeah. album that also was a movie, you know, like Lemonade is also
it, yeah, like, it's like a visual album.
Yeah, a visual album. There, I was like, what's the word? What's the
yeah.
fucking word?
yeah.
So I don't count those
because yeah.
I don't think it's fair to say that that's, yes, it is a film and they created that, but it's not the same. Because that's just your music that you made specifically that you thought worked as a story and you made it into a visual story. It doesn't count.
It's almost like calling ABBA, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because, and in Mamma Mia specifically, because mm-hmm. it's just ABBA's music.
Yeah.
It's good, but in terms, I think what we're kind of going after is like kind of like a variety, a collection of songs that really work for a specific movie. And so we're not going to talk about Purple Rain, even though Victoria absolutely adores, and I also love Purple Rain, but, you know, and Prince, but unfortunately we will not be including that kind of stuff in it.
It's different. Like, we, A Star is Born is on Vulture's list,
mm-hmm.
and we, like, that is fine because that's, they made those songs specifically for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, Lady Gaga, they wrote those songs for her character of Allie, like, when she does her pop star thing. They made those songs specific. It's for her character and everything like that. That's very different than, like, you creating an album and then making a visual representation of that album.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly the same thing. So, yeah, there's a difference between the two. So, it's not that I'm shading those artist. Yeah. I don't think those count. They should count. Sorry, not sorry. I'll just do the top 10.
Okay. Yeah.
Those were ones. So for Pitchfork, number one was Superfly. Mm-hmm. It was not a movie any of us actually knew, but it's a 1972 movie. So it's very disco.
Funk. Yeah.
Sort of thing. The song they said you should listen to from the movie is Curtis Mayfield's Freddy's Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Purple Rain, but we're not talking about that one. Trainspotting is number three from 1996.
Yeah.
See, you actually know the movie. So what's the music like? Because I was like, I don't know.
It's very like 80s like punk music.
Because they do a lot of drugs and stuff in that movie, right?
Yeah.
So it's just part of that feel.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And it takes place in Scotland, I
think. Scotland.
Yeah,
I think so.
They all have very thick Scottish accents.
Okay, so
you have to have subtitles on when you watch that movie.
Unless
you're Scottish. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're from the UK.
Yeah.
/ Ireland. Mm-hmm. They are separate, and you know the accent. Probably need subtitles. Yeah. The song they say to listen to is Brian Eno's "Deep Blue Day." That's the song. They said that's like the standout song.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good song. The one that I always think of? I have to look it up.
Okay. While he's looking that up, I'll go to the next movie. It's The Harder They Come. It's a 1972 movie. This one is, it stars a Jamaican music legend, Jimmy Cliff. Mm-hmm. It's reggae music.
Yeah.
It's not about him, but it's like with him and his music and things like that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure that sounds really nice. I'm always down for reggae.
The song they said to listen to is Jimmy Cliff's "You Can Get It If You Really Want."
I think I've heard of that song before.
I think so too. This one, like I said, score is different than a soundtrack. They put 2001: A Space Odyssey. Yes, score is amazing.
Yeah.
But I do not. We're stepping away from that.
Yes. We'll talk about it in the next episode.
Next one is Do the Right Thing, a 1989 movie from Spike Lee.
Yeah. So Victoria and I watched like a short documentary. Oh, before we go on, John, what was that song?
I want to interrupt. Oh, no, it's Lust for Life by Iggy Pop.
Oh, okay.
There are so many Iggy Pop songs in there.
They were the only name I recognized from the album cover, like the album cover for the movie for Trainspotting. Iggy Pop was the only one I recognized.
Yeah. Iggy Pop, David Bowie.
Oh, Blur. Never mind. Oh. Whoops. That's not the one they used on the cover. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, that's good. But so Victoria and I watched like a mini documentary about Spike Lee. And what's really cool about him is very similarly to Quentin Tarantino and, you know, Wes Anderson and all those other kinds of directors, he really takes a lot of care and attention to what kind of music he puts into his movies.
Yeah.
And Spike Lee specifically, it has layers and depth to the meaning of a lot of the songs that he puts into his movies. Specifically, this one, Do the Right Thing. Because this was, I think, what his breakout. I don't know. This one was, like, one of his most well-known movies.
I think it was his breakout.
It was a breakout? Probably, I think so. Because this movie just hit so hard on so many different levels. And the music definitely is one of them. And also, the 90s. 90s hip-hop, R&B
soundtracks. Well, this is the late 80s.
Oh, 80s. Never mind.
Yeah.
I mean, still, 80s.
Because he used mainly reggae music and this movie, and because he used a British reggae group called Steel Pulse.
Oh, right, yes.
And then the other music, the score for Do the Right Thing was also composed by his dad.
Ah.
So it's obviously an important movie from him.
Yeah, from him.
The next one is Lost in Translation at 7. It's a 2003 movie by Sofia Coppola.
Is Scarlett Johansson and Bill Murray in that? Okay.
That's their movie. It has songs by like Peaches, Fuck the Pain Away, Phoenix is Too Young. Oh, they have My Bloody Valentine in it. So there's tons of like that type of music.
Yeah.
I don't know how to like describe like Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean I've never seen the movie, but from all the things I've heard of that movie,
yeah.
It has a definite feel to it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The song they say to listen to is The Jesus and Mary Chain, Just Like Honey. That's the song. The next movie is Rushmore. It's a 1998 movie. It's from Wes Anderson. They say to listen to The Who, A Quick One, While He's Away. That's the song. But it's mainly like that rebellious sort of music.
Have you seen that movie? I have.
I have not.
No. John? No?
No, I haven't.
No. But we trust Wes Anderson.
I do trust Wes Anderson very much. But I've never, that's not one of his that like,
I think more well-known
movies. Yeah, that I'm like.
I think that was his like breakout movie.
Oh, is it?
Oh, was it one of his earlier ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. Next one is Help by the Beatles. Again, like I said, Help. I don't consider those because they don't count. Because it's a.
They did a lot of like.
They did a lot of album.
Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. album into night. Movies.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm like, they don't count because. Yeah. No. Just because you have fun making movies doesn't mean. No. The next one is at 10 is Pulp Fiction's Quentin Tarantino's movie. Like we said earlier, yeah. Tarantino cultivates most of his films to have a specific style feel, and he does it really well with his soundtracks. Kill Bill is another one that has a very distinct style that uses actual lyrics, because his other movies do too, but they're more instrumental. They have scores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I love like the music from Pulp Fiction. I will say, like, it does stand out.
No, yeah, I was listening, again, I always reference this podcast, but Wizard and the Bruiser, they did, I think, a two-part episode thing of the history of Quentin Tarantino, and they said that when he writes his screenplays, he actually listens to the music he wants to put into the movie. So from the very beginning, he knows what kind of vibes he wants, and so he'll listen to that and only that while he's writing his stuff, which I think is great.
Yeah. Then Vultures, their top 10. Number one is American Graffiti.
Boring movie. As Victoria has mentioned, she said, I don't really care much about white people problems in the 50s.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't.
It's boring. You don't need to see it. If anything, just the visuals are nice. And I guess the music is too. But again, it didn't stick with me.
Then they said they also repeated some of these, so I'm not going to repeat the same movies. Then for number three, they had Shaft.
I think I've seen Shaft once, and that's always fun.
It's R&B. Mm-hmm. It's R&B music is the...
And it's an action movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a pimp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, good fun. Good action fun.
Oh, brother, where art thou? I always say went out thou.
That movie's really good. John, have you seen that?
I've seen parts of it.
Yeah.
Same. I was like, I've only seen a quarter of the movie. So
I've seen
really
the middle and ending of the movie. But, I mean, I enjoy the music a lot. And also, I love looking at young George Clooney. Any age George Clooney,
I was
going to
say, that man ages like fine wine. Gracefully. The next one is The Harder They Come. That's about, it's a Jamaican crime picture.
Ooh.
So they have a lot of ska and reggae music in it.
Okay.
Saturday Night Fever. The thing we had talked about in the first version of this episode.
We keep referencing
movies that are like dance movies. So like Footloose, Saturday Night Fever, Boogie Nights, Dirty Dancing. All of those, I think, have to have a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because if they're dancing to a song, it's gotta be a banger. Because if not, it's just boring.
Yeah,
it's boring to watch.
Yeah.
And it's also just boring. I can't do it.
That sounds like a really hard job to do, to either make or to find really good songs that people, and also have really good choreography that is entertaining to watch. Because I feel like you can also have boring choreography.
Oh, for sure.
And a really good song, and it just doesn't work. And, I mean, it's different for Pulp Fiction, because all I do is just kind of like the twist.
Mm-hmm.
But it works because you're just like, this is really weird, and the entire scenario is very weird, so it works. But, you know, for like a dance movie, and then all of a sudden your music and or your dancing sucks, then it's just going to be a shitty dance movie.
Next one at number 8 is Pretty in Pink. All John Hughes movies pretty much have a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
I only really like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's my favorite.
I would argue that's probably his best one.
Yeah. It's to me least problematic. And to be completely fair, some people are attached to other ones. I watched these at an older age than at a younger age. So mm-hmm. I could see the things that weren't okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I watched Pretty in Pink, I think a year or two ago. So I could see that Ducky's a shitty person.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I love John Hughes movies, because that's what I grew up with. And those were my dad's favorite movies. It's true iconic 80s movies, teen movies. But Weird Science, amongst others, will not fly today.
Yeah. And I'm just like...
But the music is good.
I was going to say the music is good. I will stand by that.
Jesse from Pitch Perfect was right.
And then they have at number 10 Kill Bill. They had Kill Bill on there,
the best one.
And then number 11 was Footloose, and I was like, as it should be.
Yeah,
this is so much fun.
Kick off your Sunday shoes.
All right. So those are the list. Now we're just gonna kind of go into the movies that we like.
Yeah,
have good soundtracks. Some of them are on that list, some of them weren't. We're just not gonna go through the whole thing because there's a lot of movies.
Yeah,
and some of them we didn't know. One of them that I think is fantastic, Kendrick Lamar is a fucking king.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther. That man, kudos to him.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to him. It's on the Vulture list. It's not on Pitchfork's list, but they put it really low on Vulture's list, so screw them.
Yeah.
But they do make a point to say that, he went and looked for people who were from different parts of the world. So, Canada,
mm-hmm.
California, South Africa, the UK. There's another one. I think there's another one. But, because he wanted the album to be, worldly and multifaceted, mm-hmm. as it should be, as, what the whole point of Black Panther is. It's just, look, you need to be worldly.
Mm-hmm.
You need to step outside your world.
Yeah, he did his research, A, and B, he put in all the effort that he needed to, because I watched a mini, video essay about how Killmonger is arguably the best, superhero villain out there. And what's so cool about Kendrick Lamar's, just the score itself and even the music, but the score itself, when T'Challa is on the screen, it's more traditionally African and very tribal. And then when Killmonger is on the screen, it's more hip hop. And then when they're together, he mixes them together. It's just fantastic. Amazing.
They put a lot of thought into that
mm-hmm.
one. And I'm just like, sure. It definitely shows both in the movie and then when you're just listening to the soundtrack.
Yeah. And to make to make familiar things sound new, sound Afropunk, sound cyberpunk, which is really cool. Yeah. Afrofuturism. That's what it's called. It's really cool.
That's chef's kiss to that album. It is so good.
Underrated. Underrated.
I think it's adequately rated.
I was going to say, all the stars
it gets a lot of praise.
Not
on these lists. People who make these lists need to
I wonder if it's...
Pitchfork, they're a little snooty.
Are they? That's what I'm thinking. I was like, cinephiles and movie snobs.
Some cinephiles are very snooty because, as we saw the first version of the show, when we went through all of the movies, there were no really, besides John Hughes movies,
mm-hmm.
there was no really any teen movies with their soundtracks, which I think, except for Pitchfork, they did mention Clueless, which also. Great soundtrack.
Yes.
I think Clueless's soundtrack fits really well and it gives you the ambiance and feel of what...
Of the time,
mm-hmm. of what it is and everything like that. And then the feel of the characters. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't really any teen movie besides that. Besides John Hughes and then Clueless. But those are older movies. There's nothing of the 2000s teens movies. And I'm just like, listen here. I stand by early 2000s movies... Bangers.
Yes.
Bangers. But I also love alternative music. And then when Victoria was here, she didn't grow up on it. So she doesn't have that nostalgia and love for it. So that's not, if you don't have that attachment to it, obviously you don't care. But she did agree with me that Cheaper by the Dozen, their soundtrack slaps and it does make you feel things. When they play I'm Just a Kid, when FedEx is on the fucking train, I cry every time. And I've seen that movie so many times.
It's so good. And then two movies that come into my mind, they're not really like super popular amongst the masses, but She's the Man has a great soundtrack, and also Stick It.
Oh my god.
It works so well just for the aesthetic. You would think it's so wild because it's a gymnastics movie, but they include Brain Stew by Green Day, which is a great song, and they include Blink 182 and like literally all these other, you know, alternative Fall Out Boy, punk pop. I mean, Green Day would argue against that, but
yeah.
But you know, pop punk songs for a gymnastics movie, it's great.
This is a little bit off the topic of soundtracks, but okay. Stick It, if none of you have seen that movie,
oh god, so please watch good.
It. It's, oh my god, it's a masterpiece. It's one of my
literally one of my favorites.
Literally. It's my, if I ever feel really shitty, that's the movie I play. I love it. Yes.
Oh. Twilight.
Twilight, ooh, Twilight's a banger.
Yeah.
Like, they really didn't have to go that hard on that album. They really didn't. For a movie, when it came out, yes, those who were Twihards did appreciate the movie. But then we stopped liking the movie. And now we're back on the movie.
Yes.
So, as she goes through waves.
Yeah.
But that album has always stayed.
Remained so good. And then, in an interview, Robert Pattinson said that the music for that movie was ahead of its time.
Oh, 100%
ahead of its time. And it was.
Dude,
and
the choices of the music, oh my god, they just...
Oh. Icons of a generation, Paramore, Linkin Park, Muse, oh my lord, like... So it makes you feel... Victoria said this once when we were rewatching Twilight. She said that like the soundtrack for the first movie specifically puts her in a certain mood.
Yeah,
like
teen angst galore.
John is just like holding his tongue because he hates those movies, but me and Emily understand each other.
But you love the soundtrack.
You can't argue it's good music.
Okay, it is a good soundtrack.
Okay,
but does that make it good in the context of the movies?
Yes, it does.
Does I think they fit used for the movies.
It makes
did,
a mood.
Or did they just use that music because they knew the people that are fans of Twilight like that music?
If they didn't,
damn it, John! God damn it! Don't ruin my bubble! God again, damn it!
But on your side, if they didn't use that music for that movie, I don't think the movie would have been as good.
No, I don't
I would
so.
Argue it would have been
no. I think, extra shitty. I think what he says is correct. Like they put that music because obviously, I'm not saying all Twihards are alternative people, but like most of them were because it was that sort of supernatural esque sort of thing when Tumblr was huge. So yeah, you would gravitate towards that music. So yeah, no, that does make sense. They geared to a specific crowd, while like other earlier 2000s teen movies were more, that was just the music that everybody like. I don't know what it was about the early 2000s that all teen movies had to use All American Rejects.
Yeah.
The amount of times All American Rejects is true. I don't even know how many different types of teen movies.
They got their money.
They still get their money anytime those things replayed.
That's true.
I was like, excuse me. But those movies are specifically like that. But then Twilight was curated because of the fans.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm mad that you said that though, because I was like, that's just a perfect album. But I was like, no, that's because I like that music. No, you're right. Fuck.
Can I add another one? This one could be arguable. The Hunger Games trilogy. I absolutely love the album that came out with the is it one single album or albums?
What, they all, each movie had their own.
Yeah, so, but I know that they released a sort of album or collective something or other of songs made either for the mm-hmm. Hunger Games or like, I think that's what it was. Cause they had, I think, oh shoot. People will yell at me if I'm wrong at this one. This like indie folk band called Iron and Wine, I think is in there.
Iron and Wine is also in Twilight, by the way.
Oh, are they really? Oh, they're, yes, they are. You're right. Flightless. Yes.
Flat. Yeah. Yeah.
Taylor Swift, I think, had a song. It was because
as like Kendrick Lamar curated mm-hmm. Black Panther, I'm pretty sure Lorde curated the Hunger Games, at least one of them.
I think you either are correct. Lorde
did, and I think Taylor Swift did a different one. But like they had a specific artist mm-hmm. make the album, and they're like, here, do yeah. it. Here's the movie, you know the book. Go.
And again, I think those songs were perfect for to get a sense, a feeling of that franchise. Mm-hmm. Because weirdly, even though it's a futuristic dystopian, you know, thing, a lot of their songs feel very oldish, like yeah. folklore, like a lot folky of them are
very folky
and countryish, but also but like down to earth, which is so it's weirdly fitting. It feels like almost like a war.
Yeah.
Like a Civil War sort of thing.
That one's really good.
That's why I really like the music for The Hunger Games.
Another one that's, I think, makes the movie better. Mm. Because the movie itself is okay. Tron Legacy.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
their soundtrack, Daft Punk. You got that Disney paycheck.
God. Daft Punk.
Do you disagree with me, John? Because you're making a face.
No, I don't agree. I mean, I don't disagree.
I was like, excuse me. You want to fight, mister?
That's the only thing I liked about the movie.
No.
Was the soundtrack, right?
Soundtrack,
yeah. Because it obviously you need a futuristic sound, and Daft Punk is a very great, what?
Like an example of it.
Are they DJs? They're DJs, right? Or are they, like, what would you consider their music?
They're almost like composers in a way. Because
I'm like, what do you consider them?
I don't even know what they consider themselves. Because their art, I don't think they're DJs because they don't do mixes of other people's songs.
Yeah.
They just kind of curate their own beats.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very techno-y. Yeah. So.
Well, their music works really well for that cyber.
Yeah.
World.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, oh, God, yes.
I think probably one of Disney's best choices
was, yeah, to put them in there and to it just helped elevate the feel of yeah. the movie because then you felt truly, yes, this
in a
is
different
futuristic.
World. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's still, even now, even though that movie was made, I don't even know how many years ago, mm-hmm. it still feels futuristic now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it will still, I even think. When we're living in a Tron-esque world, yeah. it will still feel futuristic just because they know what they're doing. God. I don't know what it is about Daft Punk, but they know what they're fucking doing.
And they're geniuses. They really are. Ugh, I love them.
That fucking album. Oh, I will die on that album.
Maybe so I'll good. Listen to it later when I go.
It's so good. It just gets me in a mood and I'm like, ooh, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I watched that movie for that.
Yeah.
Like, party, let's go. Another one. That makes me... Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yeah.
This one, because we had a musical episode. Scott Pilgrim is not a musical. Mm-hmm. Yes, they sing songs in the movie, mm-hmm. but it's purposeful to the plot
yeah.
because they're battle of the bands.
Yeah.
It's the purpose of their whole thing. They're musicians. Mm-hmm. So that's why they can consider a soundtrack the same way A Star Is Born can be considered a soundtrack.
Yes.
Because... Yeah, it's curated specifically because of the film. Edgar Wright, in specific, as a director, mm-hmm. puts a lot of time and care into the music that he uses in his movies. Because not only is Scott Pilgrim, like, an iconic piece of music
yeah.
with the film, and it works so well. Goddamn, that album.
Hello again.
Oh, God.
Random.
Metrica.
So good. Every time I hear that first line, I like my heart soars.
Even watching Brie Larson, she lip syncs it, right?
I'm 99% sure. Yeah, I don't think she actually sings it.
I was like, I know she can sing, but I'm 99% sure she lip syncs it in the movie. But goddamn. That's how
it works for me.
That's how I knew. I was like, yeah, you know what? Damn, what a woman.
Yeah.
Same with his other movie, Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah. Mm, I keep saying that. Sorry. But yeah, you make good points.
It's just, oh, God, that man. It's music is specific to that movie. It needed to be that. And if you've never seen Baby Driver, you should watch it, one, from an editing standpoint. Mm-hmm. My God.
I mean, that director himself is just... has a style to him.
It's Edgar Wright deserves everything in the world. As long as he stays a good person.
Yes.
If something comes up about him that's not good, then never mind. I take that statement back. Yes. But I really appreciate his style. I think he does really well. I think you can see the level of like artistry and thought put into his work, specifically with Baby Driver.
Yes.
God damn. I really sad he didn't get to do Ant-Man. I want to just see the version of Ant-Man that he was going to do.
Was he...
He was supposed to do Ant-Man.
Ah, dang.
Don't get me wrong. Scott...
Peyton Reed.
Peyton Reed. Sorry, Peyton Reed. Scott did Doctor Strange. Peyton Reed, his version of Ant-Man, great. I still love it.
Yeah.
Also, Paul Rudd's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I'm just interested...
What that could have been.
But I'm also afraid, because Edgar Wright's so music influenced, it would have seemed like Guardians of the Galaxy.
True.
And it would have been before Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh shit. It would have looked like James Gunn was copying him then, huh?
Because like, it's actually kind of sad, because like, he wanted to do Ant-Man for years, and like he was like petitioning, like,
please let me do this movie.
And they even had, like, there's a famous screen test for it that, like, he did all the CGI for it. Mm-hmm. to kind of pitch it to Marvel back in, like, I want to say it was, like, 2007, maybe?
Damn.
Wow.
Maybe 2007? That's before Iron Man.
Maybe a little late. No, not 2007. Never mind. Because Iron Man. So maybe, like, 2009-ish.
Okay.
Probably.
Because Iron Man, like, pretty much brought up the superhero movies where everyone's like, ah.
Yeah.
This is a good idea.
And his thing, though, was he didn't want it to be part of the MCU. Oh. He wanted it to be self-contained. So that's why Kevin Feige was like, nope.
I see.
No. That's not fair to Edgar Wright. It's just, that's how he does his...
I think he should try to do a superhero movie. Doesn't have to be connected to anything.
I think his best bet then would be to go to DC. Because DC's kind of letting them do their own shit.
I wonder...
Because then he can just do whatever he wants, if he has a favorite DC character.
I mean,
we went down a small rabbit hole. But I'm just saying, if you want a good time, Edgar Wright movies, one for music and two for just the style. Mm-hmm. God damn, that man knows what he's doing. What's another one?
I had one and then I lost it.
2 hours late.
Oh, I have. Anime list. John, you know anime. Some of them.
Yeah.
Samurai Champloo. It's so good. Samurai Champloo, if you guys don't know, I think I've mentioned it briefly long ago. Oh, it was in the racial representation one. It is set in,
Feudal Japan,
kind of. It's not an Edo period. It's some sort of period where the West was having a lot of influence with Japan, and they were having this like kind of like a culture war within themselves. And so it's old Japanese-ish culture, but the music is hip-hop, and it's so good. I listen to it whenever I want to fall asleep. This is my go-to thing.
It did to hip-hop what Cowboy Bebop did for jazz.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll get to Cowboy Bebop, but...
Wait, is it instrumental hip-hop, or is it, like, actual hip-hop?
It's actual hip-hop, because it actually has Japanese and American rappers.
Okay.
They're not, like, well-known, you know, to everybody. The DJ or the artist who made the soundtrack is New Jobs. NUJABES. New Jobs or New Jobs. I don't know how to pronounce it, honestly. He died in 2010 from a car crash. And that was like a really big deal. A lot of people in the hip hop industry, because he was a well-respected DJ.
Yeah.
And that was like a really big deal. And so if you guys are into slow, jazzy hip hop, melodic hip hop kind of stuff, and you want to, it's just nice, it's like lo-fi beats to do homework to, that's his stuff.
Oh,
Okay. It's so relaxing. I love it. I think it's great. Cowboy Bebop. Jazzy. 3, 2, 1, let's go. Oh my gosh. Just watch the opening scene, the opening song for Cowboy Bebop, and you'll understand. That is the perfect example of all the music that is throughout the show. It's just, it's jazzy, but it's also like country-ish, and it's just really good. It's just overall a great anime and a great soundtrack. It really adds to the scenes and the story. So for anime, it's kind of weird because... Oh, I'm going to do another one. Ghost in the Shell, like the movie.
Yeah.
The movie. That
the
one...
The one with Scarlett Johansson?
No. Okay, so I was like... No, uh-huh. The 1995 animated movie.
Okay, good. That's what I was like, hold up.
No. No, because this, the name escapes me, but the music for that is, because Ghost in the Shell is futuristic and techie, and the music they use, I think they based it off of, like, Ukrainian or some Eastern European folkish kind of music, and it is haunting, and it is kind of creepy. they pair this very chorus heavy orchestral music to this very techno world, and it gives it a very haunted vibe. It's great. Fantastic. Yeah. Again, very good. But again, for anime, it's kind of interesting. You kind of, for soundtracks, you get a lot of stuff in the movies, like Your Name, the zin zin zin, I think that is the title of the song, but that was really popular, even on just world charts, because that song was just so poppy, and everyone's like, oh, this sounds great. A lot of anime movies tend to have those moments. I will go into actual orchestral stuff in our later thing, because Joe Hisashi in the Studio Ghibli movies are fantastic. And I feel like anime uses a lot of their most popular songs are in their openings and their endings.
Yeah.
And also, like, if they're in the season finale or, like, somewhere in the climax of the show, they'll have a great song with great lyrics. Just to hype you up. Oh, shoot. Guilty Crown. That's what it is. Guilty Crown, this one. And I've never seen the entire thing. It's a gorgeous anime, but there's a song that they play and it really adds to the feeling of what the show is.
Yeah.
Oh, if Victoria were here, she would back me up on this. Yuri on Ice has a great soundtrack because if you guys don't know, Yuri on Ice is a anime about figure skating, Olympic figure skating. It is a love letter to figure skating. And obviously in figure skating, you perform to music. And recently they allowed...
Normal songs.
Yeah, with lyrics in there. And so they actually created songs specifically for each character to perform in. And it's in multiple different languages too. English, Italian, blah, blah, blah. That's another example of an anime soundtrack that had a lot of care into it. That's all I can say from the top of my head right now. You were wanting to mention like regular TV shows.
Some TV shows in general, they'll just kind of like put what song that feels the mood. Mm-hmm. There's an episode of Scrubs. It still haunts me to this day because they decided to use Death Cab for Cutie. And if anybody knows the song, I Will Follow You Into the Dark, you know that song is fucking sad as shit.
Is that the episode?
No, that is not the episode with Brendan Fraser. That is one of the saddest episodes, but this is another sad episode. Scrubs, even though it's a comedy, can be sad. But they used Death Cab for Cuties, I Will Follow You into the Dark, which is a sad fucking song, the end of the episode. And I bawled my eyes out for a really long time, and I was like, God damn you. Fuck you. Don't do that.
And then you also mentioned Gossip Girl.
Yes. So Gossip Girl, CW in general, has a tendency, well, Gossip Girl in particular, because it fit with the show, would bring newer artists who they thought had a really good like career coming. So an example, they put Lady Gaga on the show. They had her appear at one point, which was super cool.
Was it Just Dance or Applause? I think it was Just Dance, right?
I don't remember what song
it was. One of her first two songs.
Just Dance was
the other one.
So it's literally early Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And then they put Florence in the Machine on the show. They've, yes, Leighton Meester was on the song, so it made sense. They put Cobra Starship on the show. Well, the song. They had Gabe Sapolsky, like, act a role, but, like,
oh, did he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He's a Coke dealer. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, you're being a stereotype to all Latinos everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no. But, like, they just... They did really well with, like, even, like, just normal, everyday interactions.
Mm-hmm.
They used a lot of newer songs to set the mood of what the episode was going to be like or anything like that. Especially, like, even their other shows, too, did that. The OC is where the meme comes from SNL.
What you say?
That scene is from the OC.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until Victoria showed me, and I said, are you fucking kidding me? I thought SNL just made that up. I thought they were being funny.
And then
it's an actual fucking scene.
And I was a dummy, and I thought it came from Degrassi, because I saw a fan edit who made, again, this has been out since forever, but the scene where Drake, aka what is it, Jimmy, gets shot in the back, they use what you say. Yep. And so I thought that's where it came from, but I was led astray.
But speaking of Degrassi, they have a very iconic, if you grew up in our age, so like in the early 2000s, you were like a teenager, a high schooler.
Yeah.
There was that season of Degrassi where they used Shark in the Water, that song. God, that defined a summer. That defined a summer. It played on Nickelodeon all the fucking time on Teen Nick.
It's true, you're right.
And then,
it's
true. Yes, no. Anytime that song is played, I'm thrown back in time, and I'm like, ugh. And I think that's why, like, songs in, like, movies and in TV shows, animes or anything like that, songs specifically, because, like, a score is a little bit different, because when you hear a score randomly, it's harder to hear a score randomly.
Yeah.
But when you hear a score randomly, it'll evoke emotion, but a song will bring you back to a specific time.
True.
So,
that's
like,
true. That's true.
So, like, that song, Shark in the Water, will literally bring me back to when I would watch Teen Nick and see that little intro. Everybody knows it, the circus one, over and over again. Every fucking, like, you know,
I would
just see it.
You have a good point, and definitely, I feel like soundtracks, because I feel like scores are timeless. Soundtracks are very of its time. I feel like it's extremely hard to include songs in a music that, I mean, we talked about Daft Punk, that, you know.
That won't age, but.
Because that, you would argue that's kind of like a score, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the vibes. It's just how they utilize it.
Theirs works differently.
Yeah.
Because it's electronic music that does have words, but it's mainly just electronic music. Mm-hmm. So it's very instrumental
heavy. Yeah.
There we go. Words are hard sometimes. There's more of a feeling towards that one. While
So is that a score or a soundtrack?
No, because there are words in some of their songs. There are words.
Okay, but a majority of the songs don't have words.
Listen here. Daft Punk doesn't... It fits in this weird bubble.
Yeah.
It's kind of both. Because I don't know, because...
It's kind of like with Trent Reznor, because how he's, like, gone to doing scores. But, like, sometimes he'll do... Because, like, he did the score for Social Network. A lot of the David Fincher movies recently. Mm-hmm. So, like, sometimes he'll do, like, an actual song. But then, like, usually it's just...
Huh. It's just a score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So does Daft Punk fall into that?
I don't know. It's this weird...
Because
they're artists.
Casually, they make music. I feel like they're similar to, like, Tame Impala, where they do a lot of instrumental heavy music and with some lyrics sprinkled into it. But, you know. Ooh.
Because to me, because I was like, for Daft Punk in specific, with the Tron soundtrack, is they, because for them, they cultivated it. Like Kendrick Lamar cultivated Black Panther, like Will.i.am cultivated The Great Gatsby. Which is also a banger.
That is so good.
That album, the movie...
is okay.
The soundtrack
is great. How did they do that?
What an album.
So much
fun. Is it Will.i.am or is it
Jay-Z? It's Jay-Z Will.i.am was part of it, but Jay-Z was the one who did the entire thing.
Okay, there we go. Because I was like, when I said it, I was like, I don't think I was like, right when
no.
I said that.
No, yeah, Jay-Z.
But like, yeah, when, but that's why I was like, Daft Punk composed and but cultivated it at the same time, mm-hmm, which is why I'm like, I don't know how theirs is very interesting because they are the artist who did it.
Yeah.
While everybody else is more of like a, I'm the artist, but I'm asking other people to help me do mm-hmm. my vision.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't... Theirs is interesting. Theirs is interesting.
Because you also wouldn't include them in the category of, like, Prince or the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing songs that are in any of their albums. They're just... I don't even think they've ever made a score before. This was them just kind of being like, this sounds cool. And it did.
It sounded so good. Yeah. Now I'm going to literally play that to go to sleep.
Yeah.
It's a fucking album. Jesus. Yeah. There's other ones that are so good. Elle Enchanted,
oh, yeah.
I will say, is not technically a musical. Yes, they sing some songs.
Yes.
But it's because she's under a spell, so it's not her fault. But the songs they choose in that movie, chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
It's just fun.
It's a good time. What's another one? Tarzan.
Oh,
Tarzan
yeah.
Tarzan soundtrack fucking slaps.
Yeah.
God damn.
The Pixar movies.
Pixar.
With Randy Newman.
Yep.
Even though he doesn't do, you know, a lot. So it's not as heavy as Tarzan.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't repeat Phil Collins.
You can't.
But...
That's a level no one can touch.
I know. But... You know, Randy Newman is essentially the sound of Pixar, mm-hmm. I would argue, because he just has this iconic voice and this iconic kind of style to his songs that he includes,
yeah.
And somehow it works.
When we get to the scores, I will talk about the other sounds of Pixar, but
yes,
we'll digress. but yeah, no. Who are other soundtracks that are very... I asked Twitter...
Oh, yes.
I asked our listeners.
Yes.
What soundtracks are their favorite?
We finally got in listener responses.
But please, I love you all. But musicals don't count.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
They are, but they don't count. Because the ones we got were High School Musical 1-3. Yes. Bangers.
Yes.
Fucking bangers. Mm-hmm. Doesn't count though. It's a musical. The other one that we got was Prince of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Also a musical, so it doesn't count.
I will probably touch on the Prince of Egypt in the score part, just because their score is really good.
Yeah.
But
you can have a great score and still be a musical, but like, I'm just saying they are a musical.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Scott Pilgrim, but we already talked about Scott Pilgrim. It's such a good movie.
I had another one. Why do I keep losing this shit?
Goodfellas. That's a good one.
Oh, Goodfellas. I'm a horrible Italian. I've never seen pretty much any popular mobster movie.
Any Martin Scorsese movie always has a good soundtrack.
Does he mainly use...
And like, he's able to like, he'll usually pick like, I feel like he's good at finding different genres to use, like depending on the movie. Like, what was it? The Departed was mainly like Dropkick Murphys, like that type of music, because it was set in Boston. So of course you're going to use like a, you know, hard hitting, like...
It made sense.
Punk music like that. And then,
it added to my anxiety. made me so, ugh.
And for Wolf of Wall Street, he used a lot of like hip hop and like stuff like that.
Wolf of Wall Street, that one's a really good one too, because I think what makes a good soundtrack in specific, the music supervisor and the director really need to work together, and they need to be like, this is my vision and I need you to help me with it, because sometimes you do see movies where they put a song on it and you're just kind of like, cool.
Now what?
Like, you're like, okay, but some of them there's just like, it really like just it fits really well.
Another example of a meh movie with a great soundtrack is, I know you haven't seen it, but 50 Shades of Grey.
I've seen it once.
Oh, once. Like, again, it shot The Weeknd arguably up 10, like, even into more popularity, because he was popular.
Also, like, Zayn as a solo artist.
True, a solo artist, exactly. And then it's so weird, isn't that? Because those movies suck. I mean,
look,
period. They suck. So there's this YouTuber, her name is Kenny G. Not the saxophonist, but...
My only thing with the 50 Shades of Grey and why they suck is because Dakota Johnson and, I forgot his name.
Is it Christopher?
Christian Grey is his character's name. That is not the actor.
Oops.
But they did not like each other. At least filming the first one. I think they became friends later on, but they despised each other in the first one.
You can
tell. It was very evident in the first movie that they did not like each other. And I'm just like, bruh, getting a paycheck. Like,
I know. At least pretend.
Yeah. But there are tons of like movies and we can do a whole episode on that where the
relationship rivalries.
Is the reason why things don't work. It's the reason why Burlesque never got a sequel. That's all I'm telling you on that one.
It perked my ears.
Yeah, she was like, hello?
Tune in next week.
But yeah.
No, Burlesque is a musical. Is Burlesque a musical?
Yes, it is.
Dang.
Well, yes, because it's not, because they're just lip syncing to songs. But then Christina Aguilera is like, I'm going to sing because I'm Christina Aguilera. And I'm just like, yes, bitch, sing them.
Cher also sings because she's fucking Cher.
And I'm like, yes, you should because you're both fucking iconic.
Wait, you haven't watched Burlesque Without Me yet, right?
Have not.
Okay, cool.
I thought you were going to say, if I have seen it, if I haven't seen Burlesque, and I was like, bitch, of course I have.
No, like, because we're still trying to force Victoria to watch it.
Yes, we are. What's another one that you think of on top of your head of a soundtrack that you're like, damn, that's a soundtrack?
Can we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Briefly, we didn't really talk about it in depth. Like, explain to us why you really, really like that one.
I don't know, it's just all like...
I think it's just songs.
Fun. And, like, it has a purpose, because, like, even though it is just, like, 80s nostalgia, and you feel like, oh, yeah, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
It, like, has a purpose, because at the end, you're like, oh, yeah, because, you know, his mom died, and that was
That's the mixtape she made.
The mixtape she made him, so it's like,
and then there was mixtape part two, and... Yeah. Like, that
is
one...
Is there
going to
be
so
a mixtape part three, though? Because his mom didn't leave him another one.
I don't know. Does he go... He goes to Earth... Eventually, right?
No.
Not even in like Endgame or.
Well, it's, no. It's technically Earth, right?
Oh, okay. Technically, yes. At the end of Endgame, when they're all fighting Thanos. Sorry, spoiler alert. He's been out for 2 years.
I'm assuming because he can go back to Earth.
What is Peter Parker gonna make him a fucking mixtape?
He can make his own mixtape.
I think he's gonna be in the new Thor movie, so maybe.
What, Jane Foster makes him a mixtape? I hope so.
Oh, also, Thor Ragnarok had a good soundtrack.
Thor Ragnarok had a great soundtrack. Yes, Taika Waititi King, let's go. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they just saw what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. And they're like, write that down.
I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's literally, but that, like, that's why.
That was like just doing 80s music just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't have a purpose. Like, it didn't.
But it worked really well.
It did work very well, and I loved it. Like, it was very memorable.
Yeah, what's it called? What's the fucking song?
The immigrant song? Yeah.
Yes. That was great. But they also used that in what other movie uses that song?
They used it in Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
There we go.
But that was a cover, though. It was the Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Oh, whoops. Yeah. I was about to say Mission Impossible, but theirs is a score, not a soundtrack. Because I was like, theirs is very nice. I like theirs.
A couple times on the tip of my tongue, I've said I've wanted to say 007.
No.
But that's only, again...
There's only one song.
I know, there's only one song in each movie.
It's okay.
It's only one song, though. It's not a full soundtrack. It's only one song.
I guess.
But they're all good, though. Oh, damn it, I forgot it again.
Oh, I ruined it.
No. Oh, no.
There are plenty of... the movie is okay. I just love it because Simple Plan is in it. It's New York Minute with Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Oh, my God.
But Simple Plan is, like, a big part of the movie, so their music... Music is heavily in it, and I'm just like, hell yeah, because I love Simple Plan. I will go down to for them any day. They're so much fun. My Canadian angels, they're so nice. But yes, I have a very big soft spot for early 2000s movies, because all they use is alternative music, and I'm like, yes, that's what I live for.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate like a good cultivated soundtrack, because I think you can elevate your film that way.
I remember what I was gonna say. Netflix has kind of restarted the teen movie. Yes. I would argue they have kind of made this bigger wave of teen movies. And so Victoria and my sisters actually were, you know, trash talking me just a little bit when I went home.
Is it because you love To All the Boys I Loved Before?
I love the soundtrack to literally any Netflix.
Oh my god.
Because it's like, it's indie teen pop.
Yeah.
Kind of music, like, you know, Sierra Burgess is a Loser is a controversial movie, yeah. Yes. But the music for it is phenomenal. The soundtrack for it is great. And I love listening to it, like, at night for some reason. It just makes me feel good. And, you know, To All the Boys I Loved Before. And what other teen movies are there? The Everything Everything with, we talked about it briefly with Rue.
Yeah, and I was about to say, Nick Robinson, sorry, his name is Nick Robinson.
You know, what's his name?
Nick Robinson.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. So, yeah, him. And so, you know, that kind of stuff, I think, is a new generation of, you know, those 80s movies that we talked about earlier. These are the Gen Z versions.
I'm gonna burst Eva's bubble real quick. No, it's because they're copying Love, Simon. Because yeah, their album was cultivated by Jack Antonoff.
That's true. Love, Simon is also a good one.
I was like, that's one, a great movie, and two, their soundtrack is a banger because it's Jack from Bleachers. So he made a great album.
Jack is Bleachers.
From Bleachers. He is Bleachers.
He is Bleachers,
though. Yeah, but he's from the band. I can say that. Aren't there other people who play music with him?
No, he does it all by himself.
I mean, probably, but he is Bleachers. Like,
yeah, so I can say from Bleachers. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You say Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco, even though he is Panic at the Disco.
Now he is.
I can still say from. It's fine. It's the same shit. But yeah. No, I was going to say, like, that's because that album is very indie. Mm-hmm. That soundtrack is very indie because it's the new age of teen movies.
True.
It's because that's what they're all listening to.
That's what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
I'm hip with the kids.
Yeah. It's going to be heavily Billie Eilish and folk. I don't know anybody else.
I mean,
Noah Cyrus.
Is she? I don't know if she's popular. I mean, this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but TikTok is really cool because a lot of the songs that are trending on TikTok are of artists that no one really knows. And so those get pushed up the charts and everyone's just like, oh, look at these new artists. And a lot of them, again, are indie.
Yeah.
And there's that cycle. And I think that's why a lot of Gen Z people listen to that kind of stuff because it's
what they're saying.
They start from the roots.
Yeah. And that's why it's in their TV and everything like that. Mm-hmm. In their Netflix, Euphoria. What's the music they use for Euphoria?
I haven't watched Euphoria because I'm kind of scared.
I was going to say, I was like, look, I watched Skins and that was a lot for me. As a child, I watched that way too young, actually. I should have not watched Skins when I did. Watched it in, like, middle school and high school.
I think for me, I just love Zendaya so much, and I want nothing but the best for her. And even though she's playing...
Emmy.
I know, but even though she's playing a character, I do not want to see her suffering. I know she's a great actress, but I can't see her like that. But
I can't
anyways.
Do it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this will be a trend, you know, as the years go on, future movies will have music of their times. Or music ahead of their time.
Yeah. Because a lot of, like, if you do read the Pitchfork list or the Vulture list, a lot of the the soundtracks they were looking at and the ones they praised are a lot of R&B or hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Influenced, and I'm just like, well, one, R&B music really does tell emotion really, really well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it always has, and if you really want to feel something, put on R&B music. We don't have many R&B artists now. Ariana Grande came out with that one album, but that was it.
Positions,
yeah.
And then The Weeknd has been doing this often.
Yeah.
I would argue maybe SZA. I think SZA. SZA is an R&B artist.
There's not a lot. It's not very popular right now, and it should be because, like, there's just something about R&B that you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very timeless because it's just, you'll feel that emotion no matter what age you are. There's just something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I still stick to the point that, like, soundtracks, especially in, like, movies or stuff like that, can really elevate your film or elevate your TV show or whatever. It's just, it helps your story along.
It does.
Sometimes it can tell your story without even dialogue.
That's true.
It just does it, which we'll get into when we talk about movie scores because, trust me, it's what they do.
Yes, that's what they're made for.
Up, I'm looking at you.
Oh my god, I was like, I'm not gonna talk about her.
I'm looking at her. There's a teaser for the next episode. But yeah, no.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it.
We did it. Take two.
And delete.
No, no. Oh my god, I got so scared.
Fight.
But yes, so my name is Eva. You can find me on the social medias, Instagram at BevaMart and Twitter at Eva_BevaMart. Victoria is Chubby Pink Kirby on Twitter. Emily, where are you?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at TheEmilyGarone. You can find us, our podcast, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
TikTok! Now. We only have one TikTok so far.
But we'll be making more. The at name is Pop and Stance. We also have a Facebook, like our Facebook. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts,
Apple Podcasts.
Please give us, leave us a review or like rate us or whatever, stuff like that.
And also we like to hear feedback.
Yeah.
We are very new at this. If you're like saying, oh, I don't like when you repeat this phrase or you guys go on too many tangents, please let us know because then we will...
Stop.
We will accommodate.
Yeah, so leave a review if you could, please. We'd greatly appreciate it. Or follow our social medias for more updates and stuff, to see some of Eva's art.
And to interact with us.
Yeah, for sure. Because I always, like, before episodes, I will tweet about what the topic will be. And sometimes I like you guys to interact, and I was grateful you guys interacted this time. So
yeah.
Please continue.
Love that.
Yeah.
And maybe if you put in a really good, input into our social media, maybe we'll give you a little shout out.
Yes, please.
That'd be great.
Yes. Always wear a mask.
Be safe.
Stay socially distanced.
Wash your hands.
Yeah.
And be nice to each other and be nice to yourself. Yes. And go enjoy some nice things.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.